Glory be to God. Please take your seat and God bless. I welcome you all. Tell your neighbor, you are welcome to this Sunday service. It's our month of praise. And we're praising God until something happens. And something good will happen in your life. You will soon become the envy of your world. If you believe, you say amen. Amen. Don't let God get angry because your mouth is closed and withdraw your own case. I say, very soon, you become the envy of your world. Amen. This is better. Glory be to God. Amen. Quickly, I want to share with you what I call quick wisdom. It's not part of my message, but it will help somebody here. It will help you. It will help parents who have children. Carry your Bible and write. If you have missed it as parents, your children should not miss it also. If you look back after this message and have a regret, don't worry, probably because you didn't know, don't allow your child to have, or your children to have the same regret. I call it quick wisdom, very short. I want to share with us two seasons in life. Two seasons in life. That's the caption. There are two seasons in every man's life. Either you are born again, either you are a Christian, either you are holy or you are unholy or unrighteous, you fall within these two seasons as far as you are a person created by God. Season one, I want to group it according to age. It's between the age of 20 to 30. Numbers chapter 1 and verse 3. Give us quickly any scripture I call in this segment. Numbers chapter 1 and verse 3. Say, from 20 years old upward. Somebody follow me? All that are able to go forth for war in Israel, thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies. 20 years, between 20 years and 30 years. We have teenagers who we call from 13 to 19. Am I correct? Is that what you call it? The adults start from where? From 20. Now, Bible recognizes this age. Every age beyond this, or below this, is just called children or young ones. There's no definition about it. Now, this age bracket, 20 to 30, is the age you must lay a very solid foundation for tomorrow. If you miss it at this within this age, there's no recovery. I'm not cursing you. That's the truth. And if you are here, you are 30, you are 40, you are 28, you are 22, but you are doing nothing about yourself. You are wasting your life, thinking you are enjoying. Instead of following God, you are following devil. Do his activities. Very soon, the result, the letter you are writing, you will have a reply. This is the age for direction. You must have direction at this age of what you want your life to be in future within the age of 20 and 30. If by the time you are 30, you have no direction, you cannot tell yourself, this is how my life will be. You have not defined, not with mouth, but by what you are put on ground. I have 20 years, people are going to school, you didn't go to school. People are learning work, you didn't learn work. What are you building for tomorrow? Tell me. Even if I go to school, there's no work. Hey, there's no work, but you have something. And it's not just that you have something. By being the four corners of University of Polytechnic, there's an impartation you make on your life, an exposure that is not only certificate that you went there to learn. You also went to learn life. You can learn it negatively, and which also is an application you are making. The employment will come later, and you can't reject it. So whatever you want your life to be tomorrow, this is the age you start building it. Nobody can build for you. Your parents can't build for you. They can only support you. They can pay your school fees. You can go back. You can go to that school and play and come back and come with nothing. The guy who withdraw you in school and you're still going to school. And collect the school fees to go and eat. Am I correct? So nobody determine this. At this level, you are responsible for your life. You can only have support from parents, friends, and well-wishers. It is also your age of strength and vision. If at between 20 and 30 years, you have no vision, you are not exploring your strength for a better tomorrow for yourself, sir, ma'am, you will end up putting your fingers in your mouth. You'll be blaming others for the trouble you create for yourself. Your conscience will be telling you something, but you put the blame on people. It's my father, it's my mother, it's my friend, it's people, my neighbors. You just want to fix the blame, but you're not fixing the problem. Joel chapter 2 and verse 28, give us. See how the Bible describes this age. It's the age of strength, of vision. So if you don't know what we are living for at the age of 20 to 30, you have lost it. That's why at 30 years, you don't know whether you will marry or you will not marry. That's the play and hand. Say, I have time. You know your age more than any other person. You can be 98 and claim that you are 74. You know in your heart that this is not your age. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Somebody there to give us. So this is the time to build strength. When I mean strength, it's not physical muscle. Intellectual strength. To build strength, either by way of developing, having a skill, building a trade, having a focus for life. This is within the age of 20 to 30. We're going to be the age where people play around and say, I am too young. When they now wake up that they are old, it becomes too late. Nobody needs them again. It is a season to plan for the future, not for now. Not the fine clothes you wear, the fine shoes you wear, the gold you put on your neck, on your ear, on your earring. No. There are no time for that. There are time to build for the future. People sell their destiny for money. Sell their future for phone. Sell their destiny for the clothes they wear. Oh, my show. It's a time to plan for the future. You don't have to look it. You have heard people say, I marry my wife with two clothes, I marry my husband with one trouser. But today they are billionaires. And there are people who will look at you and say, you want to marry me? I'm not in your class. Go and look for your type. You hear? Look for your type. And when they get their type and they cannot stand, they get the type they want. But it's a home of sorrow, a home of batter. They batter them every day. And remind them that, oh, Nino, I'm confirming. I'm going to tell Nino here. But the person that will have grown together, honor each other, you are following Yahoo boys around. They will see you to do Yahoo very soon. Because you are not planning for future. You are planning for today. The humble brother, hardworking sister, who is not dressing elaborately to impress people, proving what he is not or what he is not, but just living a decent life. No. But planting for his or her future. Those ones are ignored. All right. If you play between the age of 20 to 30, you can never recover until you die. And there are many people hearing me today who can look back when they were 20 to 30. They put in nothing to their life. They walk iniquities. They play around. They want to enjoy life. Life will still enjoy you. I was telling a friend that there's nothing you enjoy in this world that will not later enjoy you. It's a matter of time. It will enjoy you. And that when it's enjoying you, your own is crying, it's pain, it's regret. Unfulfillment everywhere. If you play at this age, you should know by yourself what the future will look like for you. And don't blame anybody. Don't blame devil. Don't blame anything. Blame yourself. Season 2. Between the age of 30 to 50. Numbers 4 and verse 3. This is the age in which you are fully established in what you are planted in season 1. But in most cases, this is where men start to think of what? Let me follow God at this age. Let me start doing something at this age. That's the age a married woman wants to start learning work. The one he didn't learn in his mother and her father's house. You have missed it. You can't recover. It's not a curse. It's the law of life. So if you're a parent here, watch over your children. The age of 30 to 15, to 50, is the age that you ought to be fully established in what you have planted between the age of 20 to 30. If I planted something. Genesis 41 and verse 46. Genesis 41, verse 46, about Joseph. He was sold into slavery at the age of 17. But he appeared before Pharaoh at the age of 30. How did he come to that place? Remember that he was sold out. He was kidnapped and sold out at 17 years. Within these 13 years of his going around, he was building for the age of 30. He was building to appear and be a prime minister. That was why he conducted his affair in the house of Potiphar very well. The Bible says he was a carrier of God's presence. Genesis 39, verse 2. He said God was with him. Everything he put his hand, the Bible says he prospered. At that time, he was still between 20 and 30. Then he went to prison. Even in the prison, he established his dominion in the prison. He was building for the age of 30. He didn't start building at 30. And exactly at 30 years, he appeared before the king. And the king said, "Are you Joseph?" He said, "Yes. Today you become prime minister. Only on this throne will I see you. But today, I hand over Egypt and the whole world." I know Egypt was the capital of the world that time. So I hand over the world to you. Be the ruler of the world. At what age? At 30. He was reaping what he had sown between 17 to 30 when he was sold out. How well you plant in your season 1, you know season 1? 20 to 30. Determine what becomes of your season 2. You can't just jump to season 2. You are 30 years. You are 40 years. You are 50 years. How you say, "Hey, have we worked? What are you working?" You are only called to manage season 1 that you have planted well. The education you have acquired. Okay, you didn't go to school, but you learn work. You have a trade. You have improved yourself very well. You become a reference point. When somebody says, "Hey, Who do this work? He said, not so person. They call. He said, go and me bring him. You become a very scarce commodity. You are the one who will give people, who will pay you money. Please give me time. The work I'm handling, I have not finished. You are not the only one doing that job. Somebody is doing it. But you are outstanding. What do I call it? You are outstanding. That is in one. Since it's two now, you are already established. So how well you plan is in one, determine what becomes your 62. I preached one message one time here, that if at the age of 60, in the time you are looking for money you have not made before that time, you are looking for debt. Some people got angry. But I tell you, that's the truth. Today I'm glad that I'm over 60. I'm not looking for money. But did I say I'm jobless? Huh? I'm not under any stress to do anything. Can call me and do the job, I can tell you I'm not interested. I don't need to eat. I don't need to pay school fees for my child. I don't need to feed my wife or buy clothes for her. Essentially, what I need money for now is to serve God. After that, I'm finished. Forget. What I will eat until I die, God has given me. But when you play between 20 and 30 around, you are playing around, doing fine boy, fine girl around. They're healing you. Your body is still fresh. One day you will look at that body, you will hate that body for yourself. These are the people that have experience, who have gone through that road before you. Every girl, every boy flooding you around now because you are a small girl, you are a young girl. And they want to sleep, everyone want to sleep with you. And you are giving everybody. You have become Mrs. No, I don't know how to say no. Let me serve all. A time will come in your life, you will see the nakedness of a man, and there will be no interest in your life again. If you are not in disease, incurable diseases. This season of Title 50 is the time you will build for yourself, for your future, for everything that will last forever. That's when you build your house. Between 30 and 50, you have built your house. If you have not built for that time, you have had your family around you. Have your children, you are already training them. By 50, you are already telling yourself, it's okay. If I have not finished training because of the Nigerian education system, in just a few years from now, I will have finished training my children. There's the rest for you. And you have something of grand. That's not where you start running after LPO. Who will give you a job? Who will employ you at 50? It showed the failure of yesterday or the past. You have not embraced this wisdom. But wherever you see dignity, you know what dignity is? Huh? Wherever you see dignity, the underlying factor of dignity is responsibility. And that means you have taken away of your own life between 20 to 30. And at 30 to 50 also, you are not sleeping. You are building, you are adding to what you have built, what you have started, what you have planted between 20 to 30. This is the era where people are given to addiction of drug or smoking. Are doing dada, you know dada head. Man doing luck. But you have never seen any president of the world who has luck on his head. This is the time in which people becomes. I don't want to use rough language here. But don't want to become anything they like. Uncontrollable. They say, you know they hear word. Where do you know they hear word? You ask yourself, who monitor Joseph from 17 years? He was out there on his own. Working in a man's house as a slave without salary. No income, no saving. No property. He had nothing in his life. He's a slave. They bought him. They didn't hire him. But yet, he put himself under a check and look into the future and say, even this Egypt, I can rule them. I can rule them with God be with me. So he maintained God's presence. He maintained God's presence. He will never play with anything that will rob God's presence from his life. That make his conscience dirty. That bring him regret. Wherever you see dignity, somebody has taken responsibility. And we love it. Oh, this house is beautiful. The person took responsibility. Oh, this is how they did very well. Somebody is there who has taken responsibility. Because only consecrated responsibility give birth to accelerated dignity. You can't have dignity except responsibility is consecrated. You know what they call? When you are drinking kunu, they say, this kunu is very conk. You know what they mean by conko? No sugar, but very thick. You feed the what do you call it? Eh? The ingredient very, say it's very conk. Conk responsibility. Now they give birth to conk dignity. I have spoken our palace language. Yes. Work on yourself, brother. Don't wake up from Monday to Friday and come and pray in the church. The church is locked. We don't know nobody will open here for you. That have access, you should not pray. You should pray. But everything has time. Am I correct? The time to think. Don't need to come and pray. God will not answer your prayers. From 50 years and above, our own class now, when you are both 60 like me, the season of rest. What do I call it? Season of what? Of rest. Once you are 50, you should be looking for rest. Not looking for labor. Hard labor for that matter, it may kill you. Rest. If you have managed very well the last two seasons, but if not, your labor just started. Because people that started life at the age of 60. Because from beginning on the other 60, they are asleep. They just woke up when they were 60. I need money. I need to build house. I need to buy a car. Why do you think retiree, they die very early after their retirement? They do nothing with their life. No house, nothing. Until they say, go. And the time to go at the age of 60, you go. And that's where they will look for how to build a house. The strength is no more there. There's a level of pressure that your heart can carry. Otherwise, it will just fail. If you have managed your first season, your second season very well, you have no fear in life. I'm telling you the truth. Just go and relax. God arranged you that season to be a season of rest. When you are 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, 120, just name it. As God give you grace to live on earth. You have no trouble. Just rest. Come bow our head down. What season are you right now? How are you managing it? It's a personal time with God. Have you gone beyond 30 and just waking up? Are you in 40? Are you in 50? You say, I'm a man now. I can marry anytime. So you're married at the age of 50. At the age of 55, 56. Ask yourself, where will I see my children doing well? Today I'm a grandfather. My grandson has come to greet me in the office today. He gives me joy. I carry him. If it's just now I'm getting married, where will I see that child? I've seen all my children graduate from university. All of them. Not one left. There's a place it works in my heart. Can you please talk to yourself? It's not too late. I'm not condemning you. If I've missed it, it's okay. But what will you do from today? Tell yourself, write it down. If you can write it down. Oh, I'm already 45. I'm already 50. And yet, there's nothing on ground. I've played with my life. That's why you can stay in employment that they're giving you 5,000 naira and you still stay there until you are 70 years old and they beg you, please leave this place. Because you have no plan for your life. And you have brain. The brain you are used to develop others, either a teacher or whatever you are. Why can't you sit down and develop yourself? And tell yourself, I can do something for myself, for my own life. And tell the bull by the horn, you won't die. The suffering is just temporary. Now everybody say, Lord, please help me. Pray that prayer. In Jesus' precious name, we are praying. Glory be to God. Happy Sunday, brethren. Happy Sunday, brethren. It means for this morning. Very short. Impact of praise on restoration. The topic, part one. Impact of praise on restoration. Does praise have impact? Can it restore something to my life? Do you know what you have discovered now? Probably there's something that is missing in your life. It's a place we have missed it already. Can the praise we are doing now, can it help you to recover from the past lost? Lost time and whatever it is. My text is taken from Exodus 33, verse 14. And he said, my presence shall go with you. This morning, the core of our discussion is seeking his presence. Anything that makes you look dirty, guilty in your heart, has robbed you of God's presence. Whatever you are doing that disqualifies you from God's presence, that makes you unworthy, nobody needs to tell you yourself, you have a conscience. Say that you are wrong, you are the wrong side of life. Sir, you have lost his presence. And can I tell you, outside God's presence, anything can happen. Anything imaginable can happen. It's a license given to Satan, do what you like in my life. And I've told you here before, some years back, that if Satan wants to stop you in the next 20 years, it starts today. It starts today. And even if a man has missed it, he does not stop that day. Because it's like a car, when you are driving a car, and you are at 40 kilometers per hour, and you match your brake immediately, the car don't stop there immediately. It drags forward. Sometimes the wicked people, wickedness tell you that you are doing well, God is not doing anything about it. Be careful. His presence. He said, my presence I go with you, and I will give you rest. Like we discussed now, rest. The essence of praise. Praise is to bring his presence. His presence is to give you rest. Does he trouble here, trouble here, trouble there, trouble there? No. You have not encountered his presence. Nobody encounters God's presence and don't have rest in his mind and rest around him or her. Does he trouble? Running up and down, running here, running there. Worried, anxious, ask, am I in his presence? Once you secure God's presence, rest follow. So what is praise? Praise is a catalyst that invites God's presence. That's why the month of July is always the month of rest for everybody in Accra. And can I tell you, your best part of the year is just starting now. Between now to December, the blessing you could not get from January to June, you will have double of it from now to December. The favor that has not located you will locate you. Once you are walking in righteousness, walking and following God, securing his presence. Don't put your hand in something that after you put your hand, you go back, you look dirty. You say, I have a need. Everybody has a need. A need that God cannot give you, forget about it. Any means you get it, will bring you pain tomorrow. Today you may rejoice about it and look very fine. Invite God's presence. And when, what happened? It carries power. It carries what? Power for restoration, for recovery, for multiplication. The power that this presence carry can do anything imaginable. Just like lack of this presence also can bring anything imaginable from Satan and his agent. But when you dwell in his presence, you safeguard your future. You safeguard today, tomorrow, and forever. And one thing that praise also will do for you is that it will collapse the enemy's stronghold. Oh, they are fighting against me. They are working against me. They are planning against me. Just hold your peace. Go into praise. The kind of prayer that God will accept. Go into it. Every stronghold of the enemy will collapse. God will finish them. Remember the book of 2 Chronicles 20? Where the King Joshua engaged praisers and singers. And they were praising God. And then all the three enemies of Judah, Moab, Seir, and the other one, they gathered. What we say? They start killing themselves. They kill themselves. Men who owe the all to fight, they kill themselves. And when they were coming to war, they brought all their gold, all their silver, everything they had that are good, they brought to war. So when they died, these people went. For 4 days, they were gathering loot, spoils of war. The war, they didn't raise a finger. Now what praise can do for you? You do all-night prayer. Have you done all-night praise? You do fasting and prayer. Have you done fasting and praise? Well, you never pray, but just fasting. You are not eating, but you are just praising God. You didn't make one single request, but just praising God. But can I tell you, a praise that will make impact, that will be impactful, must be a praise that focuses on who God is, not what he can do. Let's stop it. Not his deed, but his character. Who he is. This is the prayer that makes impact, that can impact your life, impact my life, impact everybody and everything around you. It's a prayer that focuses. Glory be to God. Psalm 104 verse 1. Psalm 107 verse 1. All of them, David was talking of who God is. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul. Lord, my God, thou art what? Great. This is who God is. Thou art what? Clothed with what? This is who God is. 107 verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord for who what? For his good. And his mercy do what? This is who God is. This is not what he can do. This is the best way to make impact in your place. Look for what to tell God about who he is to you. He's a merciful God. Look at all your flaws and how God has overlooked them and forgiven your sins. And so they turn to you. You see, hear his voice. Where you ought to be judged, he had mercy. Talk about it to him. That's praise. These are praise, or these, yes, that make impact. But Lord, I'm praising because you can fight for me. You will fight my battle for me. It's good, though. But can I tell you, it's less impactful. Psalm 22, verse 3. He said, thou art holy. That do what? That dwell in the praise of Israel, of your people. God lives inside praise. But that praise must be the kind of praise that lifts him up. When Micah, the daughter of Saul, came to confront David, to molest him, he said, I praise the God that destroyed your father. And do what? And put me there. Somebody will make mockery of you. You can use praise to silence those dirty enemies. Glory be to God. So let's, this whole month have been set aside for praise. I want to encourage everyone here to please and please make an impactful praise. The praise that talk more about who God is, about his character. If you talk, if he's a might, he know what he can do. He know who he is. So if you don't say, come and fight for me, he know that he will fight for you. Because there's a battle before you. But because you have talked about who he is, he's a fighter too. He's a warrior. And he never lost any battle. So he knows what to fight for you, even though he doesn't want to fight for me. He knows. He knows the pains of your life. And you have lifted him and exalted him and magnified him above every other thing, including your own trouble. He will intervene. When you magnify him above the troubles. But when your problem becomes your focus, that's why you are praising God. We have missed it. The impact will be too less to roll a stone. May God bless you. I say, may God bless you. Seek to praise the Lord. Seek to give him praise. Just want to be in his presence. In a few seconds, what we read in the book of Exodus 33, verse 8 to 19, I want to summarize three prayers of Moses It's a prayer, but it's a prayer seeking for his presence. Who on earth among the prophets in the Bible, outside Jesus, who had done exploit than Moses? Name one. Not Elijah. Not Elisha. Not even our father Abraham. We are talking about exploit. But you will never see in the Bible where Moses asked for grace or power to do exploit. But it's a masterpiece in the world of exploit. Verse 16 on where we read in our court of worship. Number one prayer that the man ever prayed was God's presence. Lord, may I have your presence. If you not go with me, why must we live here? His presence. He was so drunken, so overwhelmed, so consumed, and get drunken by the presence of God, just seeking his presence and nothing more. He got it. That was what made him outstanding. Knew that there was none that Moses attempted to do, even in the wrong way, he still succeeded. Somebody hearing me? Huh? Even in his wrong way, he succeeded. God said, go and speak to this rock. Let it do what? Let it bring water. Did he speak? What did he do? He struck it because he was angry. Did water come out? Huh? A man who carried God's presence, a dangerous man. Don't count his error. If you play with his error, you finish. God said, you must not marry from this one, from this tribe. He's the one that brought the law himself. He's the one that God spoke through. We must not marry this kind of woman. He went there and married. Is it correct? Huh? But his sister and his brother came out and said, no, it's wrong. You can't marry. Immediately, God do what? God said, I heard. When God was putting back to Miriam, he said, I heard you when you were speaking against my servant, Moses. Who are you? He struck her with leprosy. Sometimes you ask yourself, why God do all this thing? Somebody break your law, you say, you are society him. Be careful. What did I say? What did I say? That's why on this altar, don't talk about pastors. Or we don't know them. Don't know what they carry. Any that do, leave them. Be careful. A man who carries God's presence can bring you from your highest height to the floor if you play with him. Some even bring death. Who just die mysteriously? Leave him with his fault. Leave him with his problem. Don't be a judge. God has not put his judgment in your hands. Advise him and move on if you are capable of advising him. With respect and honor. Don't disdain him. Give me your presence. And God gave him his presence. That's the only one. This can be achieved by praise. Having what? God's presence. God, praise keeps you in his presence. Number two prayer he ever prayed is, Lord, show me your way. How can somebody show you his way except the person is with you? So what does that one mean? Give me your presence. It's the same prayer in prayer one, but in a different language. Lord, show me your way. Nobody can show you his way except you and that man are together. He hold your hand and say, no, go this way. Go this way. Turn right. Turn left. Go straight. His voice cannot be to you like a voice of a stranger, but be a voice that you know very well. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. He has to be guiding you, and to guide you, he has to be close. Show me your way. Genesis 33, verse 13 to 15. You can find that there. Exodus 33. Exodus 33, 13 to 15. You find that there. Everything centered around God. Sir, the cheapest way to make your destiny blossom is to center your life around God. He will give you money. He will give you long life. He will give you sound health. He will make your life beautiful. He will satisfy with favor. You will fall into good hands, not evil hands. But this one that you're helping yourself, you will buy it by yourself and eat it by yourself. Everything about Moses, center on God's presence. I want us to look for God's presence this month. Anywhere, every day, both the one you do in your house and the one you do in church. Make sure you center on God's presence. Glory be to God. Then number three, he says, show me your glory. Exodus 33 and verse 18. He wanted more of God, nothing more. That's the meaning of show me your glory. I want more of you, Lord. I'm never satisfied. I just want more of you, more of you, more of you, more of you. How more of God do you desire? Are you hungry and thirsty for more of God or for his presence? Are you seeking to have him? Or you are seeking after the dirty things of this world? Think that you will die and leave behind. Let us make his presence our greatest desire and seek for it through our praise by giving him an impactful praise. The praise that speaks about who he is, his characters. Can you please rise up?